This is episode 91, recorded January 11th, 2013. Peckard Pokes at Mystery Sausage Fest 2013.
Do you want to stream Peckard Pokes at on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Peckard Pokes at, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Peckard Pokes at. I am your immutable, unmutable, and let's get it going, host. I am Peckard Sonic. Welcome to the show. Oh, we have such a good show for you tonight. It's so great, I don't even have words for how good it is. Anyway, joining us on the show tonight is, from the far, far East Coast, is Joe Unseen.
Packard's dug in like an Alabama tick. Dude, you're bleeding. I ain't got time to bleed.
Describe my life. I don't have time for that. Bleed? What? Later. I don't have time for that now. And joining us, our special guest host from YouTube is Talking Primates.
Greetings, fellow primates. Talking Primate here.
You betcha. Hey, look at that. He's actually walking all over Europe there on the screen there. Oh, that's great. Oh, we're going to be having a little interview with Talking Primate towards the end of the show, but he's going to be joining us here on the panel, so if you interact with him, more power to you.
Ask me questions.
And yeah, ask him questions while we're doing the show as well, and maybe we'll slip a few of them in there. But anyway, let's get to our first topic for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
Science. If you've heard of a little program, you can get it on your iPhone. It's called Snapchat. It's like an instant picture, kind of like Instagram. Only thing is, it doesn't stick around. You can't send it anywhere. You can't tweet it out. You can't put it on your Facebook page. You can only send it to somebody that's in your friends list or whoever also happens to have Snapchat. And they have to have an iPhone or Android as it's coming out. The thing is, the picture, like I said, it only lasts several seconds. So this is being used as a modern version of sexting tools. Because, you know, if you're sending out risque pictures, you don't want people to keep copies of them and say, hey, look at this person's woohoo. You know, they're boobies. You know, this is Jan's boobies or Bozo's boobies or whoever's boobies, you know, or other genitalia. Personally, I don't see it myself. The whole sexting thing with this thing there, the internet is already flooded with all kinds of porn and things like that. It's not hard to find something that's going to be of that nature anyway, just because it's somebody you know. Joe, your thoughts?
Okay, Packard, I'm still waiting for you to accept my friend request on Snapchat. I've got 16 pictures of my junk queued up for your enjoyment.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's, you know, I mean, every time you've ever emailed a picture of your junk, I've saved it. So I can see why people would like this kind of app. But but
yeah,
really,
it's the junk in my yard. It's the junk from the back of my car. Yeah,
yeah. You're like, what's this adapter for? Ooh, send me another adapter.
I think that was my hubcap.
But, you know, really, they're speculating that Snapchat is being used for sexting by teenagers. Well, guess what? That's what teenagers do.
Yes, they do.
But traditional ways such as texting, emailing, social media, they leave the naughty pics at the mercy of the recipient.
Yep.
And then they wind up all over the internet. And those are pictures of naked minors, which is bad and illegal to own.
Yes.
So this service deletes the photos after a few seconds. So there's a certain level of privacy. So if we can't stop the kids from doing this, at least it'll stop the photos from getting around.
Actually, there's a couple ways around this. One, I had seen several weeks ago. I didn't get a chance to really dig into the article. That the pictures that are being sent out may not actually be deleted. They may be being saved somewhere. So those pictures may be actually be saved someplace where they're just not accessible to us right now. But you know how people who know how to dig around on the internet, they can find out this kind of stuff. And if you send it to somebody that has an iPhone or whatever, they can take a screenshot. And that only takes is like, oh, okay, you're sending me a picture. Click. Oh, okay, now I've got the picture forever. So either way, they're still going to get it. So there's always caveats to this kind of technology. Did you have anything else you wanted to add on that?
Yeah, I mean, what you just said about, like, they can take a screenshot of the picture. The article said that they could, if you do that with Snapchat, it'll actually send a notification to the sender that they did that.
Oh, really? I did not know that. Okay, that's kind of cool. At least you know that this person's got a copy of it. This way they can say, hey, I just sent this for you just for a few seconds. Please delete it. Of course, you know.
And you don't hear from them again for weeks.
Why am I up on a billboard suddenly in the buff?
Hey, that's me in Twitter After Dark.
Yeah. That kind of reminds me of what's that movie with Chevy Chase? European Vacation. They get their camera stolen. They get their camera stolen, and they find picture of her up on the billboard. You know,
she did like the sexy dance, and they actually made it into a foreign film.
Yeah, exactly. Talking primate, Dana, your thoughts?
Yeah. Apparently, the article that we pulled the story from said that Snapchat is the next Instagram. Mm-hmm. I only have one question: what the hell is Instagram?
Yo, I wondered the same thing. I'm like, oh, what's it? I don't have time to Google that.
That's where you take pictures of your food, and then you go, ooh, look at what I'm eating.
I have a daughter who's 14 who has an Instagram, and she talks about Instagram all the time like it's her second home, and I still don't know what it is.
Wait, is Instagram the one that was bought by Facebook?
Yes, that's the one for... Yeah.
Oh, that, yeah. You know, everybody takes pictures of their food.
Yeah. And you know the thing is with Instagram, all the pictures went to Facebook. You could send it to go to Facebook or to Twitter anyway. It was completely pointless to buy it for them. They could have just said, okay, we'll just take your users.
Well, I know people who Instagram, and they're not teenagers, and they said there is actual, like, communities on there, like there's a graffiti community where all the graffiti artists take pictures of graffiti and like put it up there, and they all follow each other, and it's kind of like Twitter, you know.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. Did you have anything else you wanted to add there, Talking Primate, Dana?
Hey, actually, yeah. I'm kind of glad that Snapchat. I'm glad Snapchat is around because I really need to know the status of Vanessa Hutchins' pubic hair.
Yes. Did it grow any longer today? Let's take a look.
There we go. Yeah. I'm out.
Okay. We're going to have the stories a little short tonight. We're just going to cover one so we can have a nice long time interview with Talking Primate here. So we're going to get on to our next topic. Michael J. Fox, who's a very, very talented actor. If you haven't heard of him, you've never seen Back to the Future, Back to the Future 2, Back to the Future 3, and Family Ties. He's probably done a lot of, Spin City and several other TV shows and movies. He contracted Parkinson's disease, and like I said, he's a brilliant actor. He's getting into a new role, which will allow him, it's as a newscaster, who quits his job because of the Parkinson's disease, but he returns to work in the show's first episode because he has a new medical treatment, basically, that's going to help him control the symptoms. So it's a whole new TV show based on this premise. You know, it's dealing with Parkinson's and being able to work in the workplace. I think this is a very bold move for this type of entertainment, especially with Michael J. Fox. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is great news. I'm a huge Michael J. Fox fan, and I hope the best for him and his new show. I do, however, have my doubts about this. I was watching something on TV about how they filmed his last TV show. Mm-hmm. What was it? Spin City?
Yes.
Yeah, and they said that they would often have to, like, he wouldn't be available a lot for rehearsals due to the effects from his Parkinson's.
Yeah.
And so they would have to use like a stand-in to do rehearsals and then wait for his medication to kick in. And as soon as it did, everybody would rush to set and they would film the shots and scenes with him. And then, you know, that window of time is very, very small. So it was hard to film. So,
in that instance, he was actually trying to, best way I can say is hide it. For a while there, his co-stars didn't even know he had this. That's why, and they thought he was just being, you know.
It was just the producers?
Yeah, just the producers.
That were, so, okay. Yeah. All right, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, they didn't know. They were trying to say, you know, we're going to protect Michael, you know, protect his privacy, and I can understand that completely. His co-host kind of thought, well, he's a kind of stuck-up snob and the whole nine yards, making us wait, you know, being a prick, basically. But then after they found out that he had Parkinson's, and this is why he took so long to come out onto the set, they completely understood, and the whole atmosphere changed. And they didn't know this until like just before he was getting ready to leave the show. So, okay. I think with this, since he's not actually hiding it, or
his character actually has Parkinson's,
right? Exactly. So this way, it's going to be part of the show. It's not like he's going to have to wait to get back on camera after medication has taken place. So he's probably going to be taking medication as he's doing the show. I mean, I'd imagine.
That's great. If they can make it work and he feels up to it, best of luck to Michael.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Dana, Talking Primate, your thoughts on this?
You know, man, it's hard to make a joke out of this.
Yeah.
Come on, Rush Limbaugh can do it.
Yeah. Rush Limbaugh is a joke. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I mean, it seems offensive. I mean, there are some great jokes to be had. I guess the only question that I would have is, I mean, yeah, this seems like a reality show almost for him.
Yeah, it is. I agree. That's kind of it is. It's very close to it anyway.
I was wondering if anybody knows the status of his disease, of his illness. I know great strides have been made in many different kinds of diseases, and I don't know I don't follow the medical front as well as I should.
Yeah, no.
Does anybody know if like Parkinson's has become more manageable, or if like
Canada's
got doing some stem cell research or anything like that?
Well, I know there's stem cell research going on right now. I mean, the last video I saw of him was he was speaking in front of Congress and he did not take his medication for several days, and it was a full blown attack, and he just could not control any of his muscles at all.
He did it intentionally to show them the effects of the disease because he was trying to sway them on stem cell research.
Right. And the thing was, a lot of the right-wing nut jobs, they were saying, oh, he just over-exaggerated these effects.
Well, that's when Rush made the jokes about it.
Yeah. And Rush Limbaugh is such a dickhead anyway. It's not even funny.
It's not even worth mentioning that.
Yeah, I know, but it just no. The only reason I mention it is because there's people out there. I think that this should be known, so that's the only reason why I mention it. So,
Those against stem cell research will be against stem cell research, even if it doesn't have anything to do with the whole fetus issue.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, there's the stem cell issue is actually they're working on that, so they don't even have to use fetus tissue. It's progressing. I just saw something on this just earlier this week or last week. They can get the T cells out of somewhere else, and they can get those to replicate in their fresh T cells. I saw it. I wish I had the link to it right now. I'd play it, but
I saw it too. It's what they're doing is they're cryogenically freezing the umbilical cords when babies are born,
mm-hmm.
and they can get stem cells from the umbilical cords. And there's a research going on right now where they're thinking maybe they can save the blood or the stem cells from the umbilical cords and give them to kids as they grow up, maybe reverse the effects of autism.
Oh, now that's interesting. Now I didn't see that part.
I saw that on the news this week.
Oh, that's cool. See, there's something new every day. Dana, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Not really to the whole Michael J. Fox. I mean, it would be terribly inappropriate to tell you what I think the name of the show should be, but...
So, Talking Primate, what should the show be titled?
Yes.
Shaker Heights?
Oh.
All right.
No, that's bad.
On that note. Wah, wah.
Wah, wah, wah. All right, on that note...
They could call it Not Stirred.
Oh, nice. Okay.
People in the chat room are like groan.
Yeah, I see that. Okay, let's get into our next topic.
Earned that one.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. We have our own set of groans on this show. That's our new segment, the sound. Tonight. I'm always changing things up here on the show, trying to make things more interesting. A teenager went out drinking, shouldn't have been drinking because he was underage, and so he gets behind the wheel of his car and he goes out driving, you know, he's all liquored up, hits somebody's car, goes, screw ya, and takes off, and then goes, gets on Facebook, I was out drunk driving, I hit a car, hey, whoever we were, I hit car, hit there, buddy boy, I'm sorry. And then, you know, they post it to Facebook. I understand the mentality here because there's people out there. They are posting shit on Facebook that, you know, most people would not post at all or even you know, tell your worst enemy or even their best friends about. But the thing is, though, some of these people who are, you know, the next up for the Darwin Award, as I like to put it, they are putting this information out on Facebook, and police officers are combing through their areas for the words like accident, drunk driving, things like that, and they hit these things, and they go, oh, well, John Boy here, looks like he may have been the one that hit this parked car. Oh, and while you're at it, there was another parked car that was hit, so let's just nail him for both. Let's say you did it drunk driving, you hit one car. You only hit one car, but they're going to nail you for every other hit car that's in the general area, just in case it might have been you as well. Kid here says he was 18 years old, Jacob Cox Brown of Astoria, Oregon. How do you not understand? You know, you don't post this shit online. Really. Joe, your thoughts.
I know around me in my hometown, the police actually set up a fake Facebook account. Mm-hmm. And they used a picture of a very young, attractive girl with big boobies. And she's wearing a tank top and just panties in her profile picture.
Oh, my.
And it says she went to a local high school. And all her status updates are like, hey, boys, where's the party? I'm looking for ecstasy tonight. What's going on, you know, and she tries to friend request everybody. And her profile says, she's a bartender and that she, you know, but it doesn't say what bar she works at. It doesn't say, what town she lives in. It just says she graduated from the local high school and everybody knows it's the fucking cops. Every now and then, one of my friends will actually accept the friend request from her. Yeah. And we all have to, send him messages yo, that's the cops. That's the cops. And what are you talking about? She's hot. It's like, no. That's a 40-year-old dude with a badge on his hip.
Nice.
So, yeah, the cops definitely do look at Facebook and try to watch what's going on. The fact that these kids were drunk driving and then posted it to Facebook in some kind of bragging way, that's just completely irresponsible.
Yeah.
Not only did they endanger people by driving like that, they got themselves caught by bragging about it online.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Bragging about something like, oh, I hit a parked car. What's the brag about that? You know, if you jumped the car, there's something to brag about. Hitting a parked car, not so much.
Right. If you're going to brag about your crimes, do it on Twitter where it's anonymous.
Yeah. Because, yeah, Facebook, you require usually a real name. Dana, your thoughts?
Okay. First of all, the kid's name is Jacob Cox Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody should arrest him for being drunk all the time with a name like that.
Exactly.
Jacob Cox Brown. Come on. So what's the deal? I guess the only thing that he's posting now is bail?
His parents certainly must be. He's 18 years old. I wouldn't bet he has a very good job at that age.
But in all seriousness, here's the root of the problem. I think the Young Turks just did a show on this a few weeks ago. And it is very true. People cannot keep secrets.
Oh, I don't know about that. I have a lot of secrets I haven't told you. One about my dog.
Some people cannot keep secrets.
Okay, some people.
They did a story about a lady who robbed a bank, and she went on YouTube and she showed the money.
Yeah,
and
she
did one of those sign videos where she's looking all cute. She goes, "Hey, y'all!" Holds up a sign, says, "I just robbed a bank." And so they're like, oh.
"That is completely ridiculous."
No, yeah, I saw the video. She's like, look at all this cash. I just robbed this bank and everything, and I've got."
Yeah.
She did it for attention, or I don't remember what she said. Why she did it. Because she was pissed off at somebody or something. I don't know what it was.
Well, but she's cute. She's going to get a lot of attention now.
Yeah. She's going to be a lot of attention for many, many years, you know.
Okay. So this lunatic that hits the parked cars, I only have one more thing to say, and I bet now he's wishing he'd used Snapchat.
Look at all these cars I hit. Snapchat.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's the best thing to use it for. Oh, look at that car hit. Oh, hey, look at that. Oh, it's gone now.
Oh, look what I did that car. Poof. Quick, use your thumbs.
Oh, that's just
his friends. I read in the article that his friends turned him in.
Yeah.
His friends, actually, maybe it was a friend of a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
Oh, so it wasn't the cops looking on Facebook. It was one of his friends turned him in?
Yeah.
No, they turned him in.
Yeah, that's what
Wow.
They, Yeah, that's what you just said.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it could have gone either way, but I absolutely. I mean, I know that they do that. Every now and then, I always wonder, you know, hey, I'm posting a lot of, like, weird stuff on the Facebook. I, you know, if anybody really wanted to come after me, you know, yeah. Hey, Google me. You got my address.
You know, I used to drive, many years ago, I drove a school bus. I did that for about 9 years. And one thing I can tell you about teenagers, they'll sell out their best friends for the price of a Happy Meal. Easy enough. And it's seriously, if something happened on the bus, someone would get screwed up, you put up a little reward, say, hey, whoever did this, do you get a reward for that? And they'll turn them in. They'll turn them in for, yeah. Especially if, you know, if they like the bus driver and they hate the other person who's doing the screw up or whatever, you know, so. And sometimes that's all it takes. Not even that. You just say, hey, get out of trouble card, you know? Anyway.
You want to hear another story about the police and Facebook?
Sure. Go ahead.
Years ago, I used to go to these, like, digital music parties. Kids used to call them, quote-unquote, raves. So anyway, this guy I knew was throwing one. He rented a cabin at a county park, and it was all on the up and up. He had permission to use the cabin. He was going to be there and everything. And he invited a friend of mine and I, so we decided to go. And as we're pulling into the park, it says park closes at dusk, and we're there at 11 o'clock at night. Suddenly we're surrounded by like 12 cop cars.
Yeah.
And all these detectives were shining flashlights in our face. They're like, you're here for the party announced on Facebook, aren't you? And we're like, and my friend turns to me. He's like, I can't get arrested. Oh. So we're like, oh, we're lost. We pulled in here to turn around.
Ah, good day. Oh,
they held
nice.
Us, they held us for like 20 minutes, looked at our IDs, ran them and everything, and then finally we're like, all right, fine, get out of here. I call the guy throwing the party. I'm like, yo, what the heck, man? And he's like, are you serious? We have permission to use this cabin, even at night. And he got all angry. He went out there and yelled at the cops and everything. But after that, we stopped hanging out with that guy because we thought it was kind of shady.
You're probably right there. He was probably doing that just so, you know, see, hey, I'll be the honeybee in this, and I'll, you know, get my friends to go over
exactly.
here.
Exactly.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, it was really like we're kind of like angry at him for that. Like, you know, you invite us to a party, like a house party. Like, it wasn't like a nightclub or an abandoned warehouse or anything. It was just like, come and hang out. We're going to have some DJs and some, you know, there'll be some beer and shit. Like, you know, let's hang out and have fun. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. Thanks for inviting us. We actually showed up on good intentions and get surrounded by police.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, we don't need this.
You know, that reminds me, there are people, the cops actually do this. They do honey traps like this before. They would say, hey, the people who have passed bills or parking tickets or whatever, they send these notices out saying, hey, you want a free TV, you just got to show up. And then they would show up and they'd nab them right there. You want a trip to Hawaii? Who doesn't want a free trip to Hawaii? You know, so they take them away. Dana, did you have anything else you wanted to add on that?
No, but what you just described sounds like Pinocchio.
It almost is. Sometimes life is stranger than fiction. I can't believe that the guy would do that to you, Joe. It's just the fact that, you know, this guy is put up a post to say, come to your party, and then you get surrounded by cops. That's just fucking...
Well, I mean, according to people who went to the party, they had a good time. Mm-hmm. Like, it did happen.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, like, for some reason, the cops were onto that party, and they were there in force waiting for us. And it wasn't just us. They stopped a few cars behind us, too. Mm-hmm. And we just slyly talked our way out of it. We're like, oh, we're heading to, you know, somewhere else, not here. We didn't mean to come down this road at all.
And a bunch of cops are saying under their breath, yeah, sure, buddy. Yeah, you just happened to come down here.
My friend had his kid's, like, car seat in the back of the car, and he's like, why would I go to a rave? I'm a father.
Yeah, dads don't go to parties. Everybody knows dads, once you have a kid, your life's over.
Right.
I've myself never been to a rave, so I can only imagine what goes on. I mean, the nude bodies and the parties and the beer flowing everywhere, I guess. I don't know.
I have a question about raves.
Ask. I have a question myself. Go ahead.
I guess my question is, if you go to a really good rave, would you rave about the rave?
Only to other ravers.
Ah, yeah,
exactly.
There you go.
But
you have to sign a raver.
We didn't actually call them raves. We called them parties.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
And we called ourselves party people.
It's a party people.
Party rave people just sounds like it would have like lots of drugs at it.
Yeah, it does. It does, doesn't it?
When you're young, you're into that part of it. But as you get older, you get out of that part of it, you realize the drugs are for kids. and you're there for the music. Like, we got into like DJing and the music and the type of music, and we would actually like get to meet DJs and like talk to them about the equipment and the music, and like you get more into it as you go through. Like, after a while, you're just like, I'm not here to lay on the floor and look like that kid.
Yeah. I'm done looking like that for now.
And then you get older and become a cop, and that's the people that exactly. are busting the people at the parties.
And then I set up parties and bus kids.
Yeah, that's there exactly you go. Right. There you go.
You are what you despise.
Yeah. We all grow into that at some point.
I'm already there.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. All right, well, let's get into our next topic. Did you like our new religious opening there?
I was wondering where you were going with that. I was like, Pet Shop Boys? What are we talking about?
It's a sin.
I like to come up with new intros in between the segments there, so this way it keeps things a little fresh. I've got a whole litany of little musical interludes between each segment there. So
surprise and delight.
Yes, exactly. Some of these are new. You haven't even heard them yet, so that's a new one. So instead of having a religious related story, we're going to have our discussion tonight. It's going to be a little bit roundtable. We're going to put the time limit of 7 minutes on the show, on the clock. I have to apologize for last week. We had been kind of away from doing the roundtable, and I kind of, well, fucked it up. So I do apologize to everybody who got a little confused why I kept putting the 7 minutes or keep resetting. That was all my brain. It just kind of like after the holidays. So so we are going to put the 7 minutes up at the clock so everybody can have a chance to talk on this subject. But anyway, tonight's subject is Noah. And Noah is, you know, if you haven't heard of Noah, he's a guy down at the dock, and he catches all the whales. No, that's a different guy. and no, it's not the National Oceanic Society there. It's the guy who the Bible claims has built a gigantic boat, lived 900 years, had two of every kind of animal show up at his doorstep, and wanted to get on this boat. Because, you know, God sent them from miles and hundreds of miles. So Noah is an absurd story, and it's a horrific story. Everybody that puts out the Bible, and they point to Noah, it's such a loving story. And that's the rainbows, and it's just so happy, and the animals, and la, 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 la. No, it's not. It's a horrific story. God supposedly kills everybody, women, children, pregnant women, babies. Oh yeah, that's a loving fucking story. It's got to be one of the most horrific stories in the Bible, along with a whole shitload of other ones. But that's just my take. We're gonna go round robin reverse, talking primates. What is your take on Noah's Ark?
Oh well, I'm gonna call it one of my fans here. Sparlock will get this. My first introduction to the Noah story was from a book called My Big Book of Bible Stories,
yes.
Published by the Watchtower Society for the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, you were involved in the Jehovah's Witnesses, huh?
Well, define involved. Anyway, that's interview time.
Oh, okay, right. We'll get to that later.
So, the pictures were all nice and described an all-loving God that basically tested Noah and his faith that he would go ahead and gather up all of the animals and put them on the boat, mm-hmm. and then take his family there. And it seemed like well, that is a really nice spin on it. And then you don't even think about the other people when they put it to you that way, because they basically centralized the whole story around Noah's love for his God or whatever.
Yes.
And then you end up realizing a little bit later that not only is it a horrible tale of genocide and destruction, but that it's physically impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I mean, it it's really kind of a, in terms of proving the Bible false, it is like the biggest softball.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so wait a minute. The tallest, let's see if we got this straight. The tallest mountain on the planet is about, what, 14 to 15,000 feet.
Roughly,
so you got to figure, for enough water to cover the entire Earth to the top of the tallest mountain, like it says in the book, you would have to have water that could not possibly exist.
Right.
And if it did, it would be like Waterworld from like that Kevin Costner movie.
Yeah, and it would be all the way up into the stratosphere. No one would be able to, even if Noah's Ark was up there, no one would be able to breathe. They'd all suffocate and die.
Right.
But
that's why we have a firmament though. I think the best thing about Noah's Ark is watching the creationists try to explain it.
Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah, they're fun. Like, well, the flood, the great flood, not only did the water, it could have evaporated into space, or it could have gone back down, it could have receded into the Earth's core,
yeah.
Or which is iron, but I'm not entirely too sure how that would work.
it's liquid iron, you know.
but then for them to make ridiculous claims like, you know, like the Grand Canyon was carved in like a day.
Yeah, I've heard that one too. That one just makes my head explode. Joe, did you have anything you wanted to add in on this?
Hey, I'm not done with my minutes.
Okay, well, it's round robin. Everybody talks.
Give him his minutes.
Oh,
okay.
The last thing I wanted to say about Noah's Ark is the one thing that drives me crazy about it is that people are still looking for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Including Baywatch star Donna DeJericho,
who went
to go look for the Ark and came back bruised and bleeding and badly injured because she couldn't, because her boat grounded.
I heard about that. Oh, man. It just like, it's just some people are just so strange.
Yeah, Blonde's coming out there.
Yeah, it's coming out in spades. Joe, did you have anything else you want to add in there before we run out of time?
Is this the only time that we're going to get to talk about
it? Yes.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I had so much cool stuff to say about this, but in the 2 minutes and 51 seconds remaining, I'm going to bring up the Brick Bible.
Okay.
I tweeted pictures from the Brick Bible recently, and I only recently discovered it. I was in a bookstore, and I was like, what's this? They made two Brick Bibles. They tell the stories of the Bible with Legos and Lego men. And there's an Old Testament version and a New Testament version. In the Old Testament version, you flip through it, and there's pictures of Noah's Ark happening. And you see an ark made of Legos, and the animals are all lined up getting into it. There's two camels, two giraffes, two horses, and two brontosauruses.
Mm-hmm.
The dinosaurs with the really long necks and long, you know, ha, ha, ha. And then in the next frame, you see the door of the ark with Noah and all his sons standing there with the animals all packed in there, one on top of each other. And the brontosaurus is his head sticking out of the door with his mouth big and smiling like, woo, you know, I lived. Noah saved me. I'm a dinosaur. So then God makes it rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And they took a sheet of flat blue Lego to represent the water rising. Mm-hmm. And they took all the heads off the little Lego men and stuck them on the sheet like they're all getting flooded out.
Oh, jeez.
And they got their little hands up and they're like, no, we're drowning and we're Lego.
I love Lego.
So then the ark comes to rest on Mount Ararat and all the animals and Noah and his sons come out and they're walking on this gray dead landscape covered in Lego skeletons.
Oh,
they actually make little Lego skeleton men. It's like tons, like several dozens of them just laying around like, all right, all the people are dead now.
That's terrible.
It's really funny. If you ever get like a chance to check out the Brick Bibles, they're so funny.
Wow. That's hilarious. That's, oh, that was Bob, our neighbor.
You know who's really good about tweeting about debunking Noah's Ark is Rosa Rubicondor.
Yes.
On Twitter. Just today, she actually tweeted, if we are all descended from Ark survivors, why did everyone forget apart from the Hebrews who remember correctly in every detail?
Oh,
Hashtag atheism.
That's a good question.
She often points out silliness in the Bible and in the Bible stories with her tweets.
Yeah, I think it's a her, actually, from what I understand. Yeah. It's, no, that's
from Oza's tweets.
Yes. There's just so much crap around with that story. It just, you know, the way I learned it, it was like, it sounded the way they made it sound like Noah was like the only family on Earth. There wasn't any other families, just them. So this way, they didn't. That's why they leave out the genocide and everything like that. So it makes it sound like, oh, Noah saved all these animals and every and their families. So it was a nice story that this one family that only existed at that time for some reason, it were the only ones that left. So, but anyway,
hey, speaking of crap,
yeah,
think of how much crap was on that boat.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And one little and tiny window, and you're gonna shove all that shit right out the window.
Yep. There's a couple of good memes that go around on the internet about it. Like, it compares Noah's Ark, the size and what it did, to the Titanic. Mm-hmm. Where it compares Noah's Ark, the size and how many animals and how many people were on it, to the San Diego Zoo. Mm-hmm. With how many animals there are and how many people it requires to take care of all those animals. Yeah. And it's really implausible. It's so unbelievably implausible.
Yeah, you know, and I've seen other ones like what happened? They say this explains what happened to the dinosaurs. They have the Ark, and they have the Ark of dinosaurs, and then Noah's Ark has a bunch of Gatling guns on the front, and they just like there's
I've seen lobby that
shells
one.
Lobby shells happen. Yeah, it's like
it says like another theory.
Yeah. I like the robot chicken take on it, where basically there's like a Cyclops and a Medusa and like a couple of dinosaurs and a dragon or whatever in the water, and they're like, no, we missed it.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Unicorn.
I have to see that one. Have to
they're like, oh, that was today?
Yeah, that was today. And then, like, the female Cyclops hits the male with it. You're always late for everything.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that where the unicorns, why are we always late? We made us late. We missed the boat.
So, in Fantasia 2000, Walt Disney animated the story of Noah's Ark with Donald Duck and Daisy Duck. And right as the rain started pouring, you see this hilltop with a bunch of fantasy creatures, like a unicorn, that creature that's like the front of a lion and the end of a lizard or dragon or whatever, and a few other creatures. And they're all sitting there just laughing and pointing at all the animals getting on the ark. And then the rain starts falling.
Yeah. It is such a fucking ridiculous story. It really is. All right. Well, let's get into our funny tweet for this evening. And our funny tweet comes from Bionic Dance tonight, and it says, whoever said revenge is a dish best served cold was just cranky because they didn't have a flamethrower.
Very clever.
I always,
it's funny because it's true.
Exactly. I always I like the Klingon version. Not Klingon version. It's the if you've ever seen the TV show Farscape, and there was a character on here. His name was Dargo. He says, revenge is a dish best served immediately. So,
that's awesome. Before it gets cold.
Exactly. Before it gets cold.
Oh, you remember that crap from 2 months ago? Yeah, I'm still pissed about that. Anyway, here you go.
Here's my revenge. I've been keeping in the freezer for a week.
It's nice and hard. How you like it?
Because I was gone. I was out of town.
It hurts harder. It hurts more because it's hard and frozen.
Right.
Like my heart, you bastard.
You bastard son of a bitch. Ripped it right out. Joe's got some breaking news, so we're going to get that right now. Joe, you want to give us that breaking news?
Yes, just before we started doing the show tonight, I got an email from the White House.
Ah!
And in past shows, we've talked about the funny petition on wethepeople.gov for the Obama administration to build a Death Star.
Oh, really?
And it needed so many signatures in a certain amount of time, and if they got the amount of signatures, the Obama administration would have to acknowledge the issue of whether or not we should build a Death Star.
Yes.
So I got an email tonight from Paul Shawcross, the chief of science and space branch at the White House Office of Management and Budget. And the email says, this is not the petition response you are looking for. So this guy, Paul, is evidently a Star Wars fan and thought that the petition was funny.
This is not the petition you are looking for.
I could see him as he wrote this, like waving his finger across, like with the Jedi mind trick. Like, all right, guys, something like 40,000 of you signed the petition. Now I have to write this response. It's part of my job.
At least he wasn't a dick about it. He could have said, you know, people, you people are just fucking crazy. Just go away. But he did it with a little bit of flair and style. I like that. When sometimes our people in our higher ups have to deal, you know, with us nut jobs out here in the public, and they respond properly like that.
What it is the White House can deal with trolling properly.
Yes.
So anyway, the email reads: the administration shares your desire for job creation and strong national defense, but a Death Star isn't on the horizon. Here are a few reasons, and there's bullet points. The construction of a Death Star has been estimated to cost more than 850 Googleplex.
Oh, my goodness.
We are working hard to reduce the deficit, not to expand it. Point two, the administration does not support blowing up planets.
Yet.
Well, I mean, if they had a Death Star, why wouldn't they?
Exactly. Well, we don't have a Republican in office. If we did, you know.
They'd blow up our planet.
Yeah, they'd blow up our planet. Bullet point three is,
why would we spend countless taxpayer dollars on a Death Star with a fundamental flaw that can be exploited by a one-man starship?
They get us. They get us.
This is an official email from the White House.
Are you sure that's not whitehouse.com? I heard that's a porn site.
info@messages.whitehouse.gov.
Oh, that is wow! That is just too good. I you know what makes you wish now? I had signed it. I would have gotten one of these too. Then I just didn't get a chance to get over to sign it. I missed it.
Oh, I signed it. That's why I got the email. I'm so glad I signed it. I know a guy from work that signed it too. I'm going to bring this in and be like, "Did you see this?
You print that out. Definitely print that out. Send me a copy."
I will. I'll forward it to you.
You know, take a screenshot. If it's all in color and everything, take a screenshot and post it.
Yeah, somewhere. I was thinking about doing that and posting it to Facebook.
Oh, yeah, but definitely.
After the bullet points, it says, however, look carefully. And then there's a link. Here's how. And you'll notice something already floating in the sky. That's no moon. It's a space station.
God. Oh, God.
Yes, we already have a giant football field-sized international space station in orbit around the Earth that's helping us learn how humans can live and thrive in space for long durations. Mm. I think this guy needs to get, like, a raise or something.
He'd be lucky with a funny response like this. Somebody doesn't go, yeah, you know, you're probably too funny for this job. We need you somewhere else.
I wonder if he actually went to Obama and was like, all right, I know there's been a lot of crackpot petitions lately, but did you hear about the one about the Death Star?
You know, they need to reintroduce this. Send it out again. Just keep saying, no, we really need this Death Star.
Can I ring in on this real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I think that the White House could do... They could kill two birds with one stone. They mm-hmm. could build the Death Star, and then they could send Piers Morgan there. Win-win.
There you go.
Right. All right. I'm going to reply to this email right now. Thank you for that update.
You actually wish the Jedi mind trick could work, because you'd have, like, President Obama, you will go off the fiscal cliff.
Well, you know, the Death Star was staffed by people with British accents.
Yes, it was, actually. That's true. All right, anyway. That was great. All right, well, we have to get moving on now. All right, let's get to our shout-out for this evening.
Hey, you guys!
Our shout-out tonight comes from me, and the shout-out is for Eat a Baby. I had to give a shout-out for this one. Just the name alone is well worth the follow. He's an atheist, and if you look at his avatar, he's got a picture of a Tyrannosaurus Rex in right front of a cross on his Twitter account, and his eating Jesus, which is I think that's why they stuck him up there, because, you know, that's the height of the dinosaurs. on his profile on Twitter here, it says atheist professional flasher or photographer. Mathematician, I can explain it to you, but I can't understand it for you. Debate me. And he puts out his YMAIL address, which I will not read here. But he has a website address, and it says godlesshumor.com. So give him a follow. If you're on Twitter, if you're not on Twitter, why aren't you? Give Eat a Baby a follow. The name alone is well worth it. Just make sure you flip them so they don't so they say tender in the middle. Oh, that's your line, David.
I follow Eat a Baby. He's really funny. He retweets a lot. He's a good member of the community.
Yes. I've had several discussions with him, so he seems to be a real nice guy. All right. Let's get into our interview tonight. As you may have guessed, our special guest tonight is Dana, Talking Primate. He's on Twitter as TalkingPrimate1 on Twitter. He's kind of new to the Twitter scene, so give him a follow out there. And he's also on YouTube, and his YouTube channel is Talking Primate. He does a lot of funny videos. You know, the thing about his video channel is he has a lot of parody songs, and they're atheistic in nature. And I love parody songs. Parody songs are the crux of comedy. And to have parody songs in atheism, that just double win. Right there, because you get the humor, you get to maybe even learn something, and you get to find out all kinds of nice stuff. It's the videos are just great. Several weeks ago, we put one of his songs on the show here. We put it on the tail end, so it was the "Thank God I'm an Atheist." I love that song. I was listening to that one. I'd play it over and over again. It would actually make the hairs of my neck stand up because I liked it that much. Seriously, I was like driving, like, oh yeah, oh, and I good music like that. If something really touches you in some way, and I don't mean in a bad way, you know, where did the man touch you? No, not like
bad
that.
Touch.
Bad touch. That's a bad touch. This is a good touch.
This music will not touch you where your bathing suit covers.
Right. But it will touch you inside. And especially your funny bone. That's the best part. Without any further ado, our very special guest, Dana. Tell us a little bit about, besides what I just said. I have a question for you, Dana. Where did you come up with the name Talking Primate?
I don't know. I think... I can tell you right now that one of the first videos that influenced my... conversion, I suppose, a couple of years ago, when I finally admitted it, that I was just, you know, lying to myself and fooling myself and trying to find something that wasn't there, mm-hmm. Was a Christopher Hitchens video where he comes up and he stands in front of a group of college students and he says, "Greetings, fellow primates," and that it just stuck. And you know, it was kind of an homage to him at first, but then I'm like, you know, then you start watching hundreds of thousands of hours of YouTube videos, and it was just one of those things where, you know what, I should be doing something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to come up with something, and so the first thing I was going to do was type in Thinking Primate, but that was already taken. Mm-hmm. Because I was also watching videos from Seth's channel, The Thinking Atheist, so I thought, well, I'll just be The Thinking Primate. It was not available, so I typed in Talking Primate, and lo and behold, that was available.
There you go.
But apparently Talking Primate is already taken by some Twitter guy, so I have to be Talking Primate 1.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought the other one, when I saw the Talking Primate, I thought that was yours. I actually had started following it, and I thought maybe that was yours at first, but then I seen you hadn't posted in a while, so, and I found out that this one is yours now, the Talking Primate 1, so I unfollowed him and I followed you.
Oh, well, I have yet to make a post on it, so keep following, and maybe one day you'll be surprised. It'll be like,
hey,
a gift.
Hey, Talking Primate said something! Wow!
He said.
You know, the best thing you can do is link your YouTube channel to your Twitter account, so anytime you post a video, it'll go right out to Twitter, and then all your followers will say, oh, Talking Primate's got a video, and boom.
Oh. Yeah, you should tweet the links to your videos on your Twitter.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hold on a second. Hey, what'd you say, Sonny? I can't hear you over my Victrola.
Did anybody else have Todd? Did you have any, or Joe? Did you have any questions?
Yeah, I actually prepared a couple of questions. Talking Primate, I know many YouTubers, myself included, have hit the wall with getting videos pulled for using copyrighted music.
Yep.
You once mentioned that with your videos, you seek out to get permission from copyright holders if you need to use the music. So I'm sure there's a lot of YouTube users out there that would love to have their creation stay up properly with used music. So how does one go about getting that permission?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, if you want to do it that way, I've only had to do that on one occasion. And that was, you have to find the publisher. Okay, so what mm-hmm. you do is you go on to wherever you get the music from, you should be able to do a database search. Are you familiar with ASearch and for like ASCAP and BMI?
I've heard of yeah. ASCAP.
I know what okay. BMI is.
And I've heard
so
of BMI.
So what you do is you go to their site and then you type it. It's usually one of those. There's another one. It's called CSAC, but like nobody uses it. It's usually ASCAP or BMI.com. And then you find out who the publisher is, and then you send them a letter. And if they say it's okay, then it's okay, and you have it in writing. If they okay. say no, then you find something else to do. You figure out a okay. way around it. Use a MIDI version or something like that.
Now, do they charge fees for that? Or,
Like I said, I've only gotten permission from one person, and there was okay. no fees.
Okay. And so like when you, if YouTube, YouTube came along and said,
but see, now here's the weird thing about it. Then I had permission, and then YouTube is all like, you're using copyrighted material, so we're not going to take your video down, but we're going to make it so that if you can't, like, we're going to block you from making money off of it and such like that. I just recently monetized my channel. So to anybody who's listening, I apologize in advance. I'm starting to get more views and stuff like that. And I thought, well, everybody else is doing it, so why yeah. shouldn't I? So you might see like a little pop-up ad or some crap like that. But if you do, just click out of it.
Yeah, that's all right. I got it on mine, too. So
it's so normal on YouTube now. You can't not do it. So
yeah, I have it on my other account because somebody else had taken on YouTube Packard Sonic. That's not mine. So if you go to Packard Sonic on YouTube, that's not mine. Mine is The Packard Sonic, actually. And I had posted a video, it wasn't making any money. There was no revenue on it. It just I just took snapshots of where our first snowfall, and I added some music from iMovie and put that on there. And I got dinged for two copyrights on that one. And I said, hey, these songs were in iMovie, and so they're supposed to be free. And just a couple days ago, one got released right away. One took a couple days, and they said, oh, all right, fine. They released both claims on it. So sometimes that's all it takes.
Well, here's the deal. If you want to do what I do, basically what I'll do is I'll go onto like iTunes and I'll figure out which song, the version of the song. Once I have an idea and I want to see if the song is even available, you just go and you type either like karaoke style or instrumental or something like that. Now, the beauty of the whole thing is that for those karaoke versions that are out there, they're not really part of the catalog, so you can use them. They're not even YouTube and Google don't even recognize them. Like
really?
If you were to hold up, like there's that Shazam thing that where you hold it up and you get to hear what it'll tell you what the song is. It never recognizes it. If that's the case, then you're probably in the clear. So what I'll do is I'll record the song with that one side of my head open so I can hear my voice as it is, and the other side so that I can hear the music. Then I'll sing the song into it, and then I'll just kind of like crappily mix them down. I mean, the production value on the songs that I make are not the greatest, but the idea is that you get the idea. And no, they're not being taken down because I don't think YouTube gets it. I don't think they understand that these are karaoke versions. They're not the original band artists.
Right.
And I don't have enough subscribers for anybody to be like, hey, you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. So
exactly.
Fuck you. You yeah. know what I mean?
Yeah, I would love to do a song with you sometime. I think we really should do that because I love to sing. I used to do karaoke like in front of people.
Yeah.
So it's good practice for doing this show, you know? Yeah.
That's an interesting rule of thumb. If Shazam doesn't recognize the instrumental version, then you're probably clear.
That's very possible. That's a good place to start, I would think. I also have Todd on before we hear from where we sent his assignment. So I'm going to bring Todd in here, and he's got a few questions, I'm sure. Joe, did you have any other questions you wanted to ask, or do you?
The only other question I wanted to ask, talking primate, was Have you ever performed your funny atheist songs live in front of friends or anything like that?
No. Pretty much, I don't know if that's something that I don't know if that's something that I would be up for. I mean, I might be. When I first started making these things, I have there's a lady that follows me. Her name is Wise Apple, and she's awesome. If you don't subscribe to her on the tube, you should. It's WEISAPPLE, and she said that I should do that silly karaoke crap at the next Reason rally.
Yeah, yeah.
I would be absolutely horrified to do something like that, I think, but I would because I'm conventions, just, you know.
I've thought about doing.
I like to keep it real.
I've thought about doing Thank God I'm an Atheist at a regular karaoke bar. I thought, you know, if I did that, they'd find stones and they would stone me.
I would mush mouth the lyrics. Those lyrics are so funny, but they're so intricate.
Yes.
So, you know what? Somebody asked me a question on the version of the video that you sent me.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I could just answer that real quick.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, this is from Practical Magic 9. She says, do you start with a song and get inspired to write the new lyrics, or do you usually start with the person event idea to lampoon and go from there?
Oh, that's a good question.
A good question. And I'm going to say neither. what ends up happening is there's a song that like pops into my head. It's like it gets in my head and I can't not. I mean, just it holds there, and then the chorus comes into my head,
mm-hmm.
and then we build it from there.
That's a good place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it was just one day. It just, you know, I had taken care of business in my head, and it was just like it was like that scene from Ghostbusters. It was like it just popped in there. It's like making sure they're Christian, and then that, and then the gloves were off.
Yeah, I've come up with little things like that myself too. Every once in a while, just like I hear something. Oh, hey, that's it. Sometimes I get inspired by other music that comes close to it, but nothing like yours. Yours is just brilliant.
Oh, hey, stop.
Oh no, I never give false credit where credit's due. It's you have a real good talent there.
Yeah, this week I tried to go through his entire channel and listen to as many of the video or watch as many of the videos as I could. And the Thank God I'm an Atheist one is the one I've watched the most. It's so brilliant. It's so funny.
It is. It really is. Todd, did you have a question for Talking Primate?
Funny you should ask. I did. My first question is, growing up, did you come from a particularly religious background?
Okay, here's my religious my religious upbringing in a nutshell. I was born and raised Jehovah's Witness.
Oh,
and
wow!
Thanks. and I wasn't really a practicing one. My dad was kind of in and out of the faith, which was actually nice. And he was like the biggest hypocrite ever. And when he kind of got on his Harley Davidson when I was 19 and fucked off, everyone was like, well, if you're not around, what's the point? So everybody just kind of dumped it. And it was awesome. And then, so I went like religion free, trying to, it's kind of like Jesus, the missing years. I went religion free until I turned about 26. I met my wife, who was a Lutheran, and then I thought, oh, well, this seems like what we should be doing. So I went and I got baptized in the church, in the Lutheran church, and made a big deal out of it. And for a while, I was like, okay, we sang in the choir, and we sat there in the church, and we listened to the stories, and it was like the same thing year after year after year. And I started to notice a pattern. It was like, the stories were pretty much exactly the same over and over and over again, year after year. I'm like, okay, now he's going to start talking about this. And then I'm like, okay, wait, this isn't new. This isn't clever. It's not funny. And the choir was having some problems, and there was some like political bullshit that was going on. And I'm like, now, wait a minute. This is the house of God. We're supposed to be getting along. I don't want to hear about how this person had a baby, so you have to sing her fucking solo. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So... And then the choir director, and to top it all off, the pastor in my church was involved in a sexual liaison with another woman other than his wife.
Oh, oh my God!
And then, it never happened. Like, my wife and I were like, "If I may fuck just this. Interject, we're
just
done
a second,
with this."
As far as the sexual,
hang on a second. Go ahead, Todd. Todd had something else you want to interject. Something. Go ahead, Todd.
As far as the your pastor having an affair, just consider yourself lucky. I was dodging pedophile priests growing up. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
that's rough.
That is rough. Yeah.
Like, owie, owie, owie.
Yeah, big butt hurt there.
So then that takes us about up to like the year 2000. And then again, it was kind of like, well, should we go to church? Should we not? Then we moved. And my wife said, well, there's a church that I really like to start going to. So she started going. I never stepped foot in it. I just kind of like assumed that, you know, if I found the right thing. And then all of a sudden I heard about this mega church and I'm like, maybe this is it. So they got me involved in like going to like sorting through stuff for their thrift store, and I started to get involved with this community, and I'm like, this has got to be it, because I just feel so good about giving and this and sitting there and listening to the music and putting my hands up. And then I'm like, wait a minute, it sealed the deal for that on me. It was, I applied for a job there and I was perfect for the job. It was like actually editing video and stuff. And I was all, it's going to be really committed to what was going on. And they never called me back. So I said, well, fuck you. Wasn't meant to be. And so I quit my job at the thrift store. I stopped volunteering. And then, I don't remember exactly what happened, but I remember, clicking on a video. I was looking for something that was like Christ related, and I think I came across like that Lee Strobel jagoff that like was doing this Case for Christ thing, and I'm like, oh well, he sounds like he has a pretty good. And then right next to it was like the Zeitgeist, and then it was like, what the hell is this? And then it was like the greatest story ever sold, and I watched that, and I went, okay, well, I'm not entirely sure if this is 100% accurate, but man, fuck me, does he make some great points.
I've seen the Zeitgeist movie too.
Yeah. So I was like, and then the next one was a Hitchens vid, and I was like, so I started with the best. It was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I believed this crap for so long. And then I started to do things like resent my parents and stuff like that. And basically, I'll tell you really quickly how the YouTube channel came about.
Okay.
I'm on Facebook, right? And I start getting these messages from this girl I knew from high school, and they were from what they would say on it. They would say, on this day, God wants you to know that, and then they would have some parable. It would be like that, just because Psalms, you know, 134:12 says that you should be good to your neighbor, yada yada yada. And it's actually a Facebook app, and this thing would start popping up on my fucking YouTube channel, and I'm going, or my Facebook profile, and I'm like, what the fuck is this thing? I'm like thinking it's like spam or something like that. And so that's it. So what I would do is I would turn around and on her channel, I would write, on this day, God wants you to know. And then I would put like, nothing. It's better that way.
Nice.
You know, and then she was just so offended every time I would do that. And she would be like, this is something that's really important to me, really serious to me. And I said, that's funny because I find it completely and totally, utterly ridiculous. Can we still be friends? And she goes, yeah, I guess so. Just don't talk about Jesus.
Oh, like, I see.
Well,
I see.
I will try not to talk about yourself. Jesus to you, but anytime you post something that's completely ridiculous, I'm just going to have to call you out on your crap.
Right.
And she's actually where I was like 3 years ago, where there's got to be something better. And I feel so good when I go to church because it's dark and it's warm and endearing and all this other stuff. And she believes it like, I don't understand. At this point in my life, I can't understand how anybody would believe it. But that's basically how the channel got started. So if you scroll back to the early days, which is for me is what, like 18 months ago, then you're gonna find like the first 15 videos are all titled pretty much the same thing, and they have like they have the exact same music, you know. And I thought it would be fun to do like the first two in a British accent, and I was like, "Fuck this! I can't sustain this." So I just tried like use my regular voice, and those things just come to me because I'll hear something like really some story that just infuriates me about how like, you know, the American Family Association is violating the rights of people, or 1 million moms will will ban something. I'm still getting to that one. And then, or like when Texas had that big prayer rally or whatever, and it just infuriates me to the point where something has to be said about it. So I have 26 seconds to do it.
No.
So it's basically the primate comes up and it says, you know, on this day, God wants you to do. And then it's, and then the monkey, and then the monkey has a caption over there. And it's usually something that's, that only an atheist would get.
Mm-hmm.
So like, what was the last one I did? It said, hey, Lucy, I'm homo. So, exactly. All the atheists in the room. So that's what inspired the channel. Mm-hmm. The karaoke thing that came up, that just came about by accident. The first one I ever did was a song called it was the Creation song to the tune of Green Acres.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet.
Primates are singing back and forth.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Well, enough people like that. Maybe I should just go this route. And that's some of the things that are so they're most fun for me are to actually write the songs. Mm-hmm. And the most cathartic one I think is it. And our friend Sparlakavarian, Ms. Dan Mara, would tell you that the campaign for Jehovah would to the champagne supernova by Oasis is probably the one that I spent the most time on because and I had to get it out because the Jehovah's Witnesses just fucked my head so awfully. So
yeah, religion will
that's,
do that.
But,
yeah.
And that's basically how the whole kit and caboodle. That's all, and that's me, man. That's pretty much pretty much me. Yeah. And I'm working on another one now. I'm actually working on our song Packard. So, I mean, I don't want to let any cat out of the bag.
Yeah, I'm going to be singing on that one. He's going to let me sing on this one. He's going to write the lyrics. Oh, I'm going to sing it.
Yeah,
so, it's going to be good.
but like. I thought of a couple other ones that I thought would be kind of fun to do, but they just seem so hard to sing or to organize. One of the songs, do you guys know It's a Beautiful Morning? I just gave it away. It's a Beautiful Morning by the Young Rascals.
No, not top of my head.
For it? Here, you know the song. It's a beautiful morning.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That one? I think I'll go for a walk outside. It's a Beautiful Mormon, but well, anyway, there's a song called "It's a Beautiful Morning," and I'm writing the song. I'm a dutiful Mormon.
A dutiful Mormon. I'm a dutiful Mormon.
A dutiful Mormon. Yeah. So yes, God is watching us pee every day.
Yes. Pervert.
And fuck and fart and spit and scratch and
God is a fucking pervert. I had one other question. My producer actually had a question for you. She would like to ask you a quick question. Go ahead.
Okay, so my question is, you do all your singing, right? Just to get this straight.
Yes, I'm sorry about that.
You do a good job with it, man.
Yes, you do.
Well, for what it is, I mean, there's no auto-tune.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you get your voice right? Like, do you do any special treatments for your voice? Like, you know, drink tea with honey to make your voice all nice and pretty, like whatever my choir teacher told us we should do, but that's a bunch of crap.
Do I do anything to get my voice right? No. In fact, right before I recorded Thank God I'm an Atheist, I think I was eating cashews.
Yeah, they'll never know what this was. Crunch, crunch, crunch.
In fact, I think I can actually verify that fact that I was eating cashews like literally between takes. And I think I did that song in like two takes. Picking the nuts out of the back of my teeth to my molars.
Oh, I can just see this. It's like you start singing a lyric. Well, that's not a take.
Yeah. Who is that, by the way? I recognize that voice.
That's my daughter. That's my producer. That's my daughter. She picks out the stories for the show. I pick out a whole bunch of stories and then she whittles them down because otherwise I would just do all of them.
You know what? She sounds a lot like Practical Magic. That's why I'm asking. I mean, you sound just like her.
Okay.
And there's no way that woman could be your daughter.
No.
So
no. Guaranteed not. No.
But no, I don't really do anything special for my voice. Just you know, try to sing so it's not so offensive.
Hey, you're doing a damn good job. You're doing a damn good job. All right, well, thank you, Talking Primate. There's so much good stuff there. Did anybody in the chat room have a question that they wanted to ask him? Unless I missed it, because I'm kind of like not watching the chat room as closely as I should. Any questions from the chat room?
I'm looking. I'm waiting patiently.
I have a question. So let me get this straight. You're angry at God because of a thrift store? That's no reason to be angry at God, man. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, God didn't have the record I was looking for.
Yeah. Fuck you, God. You screwed up my record collection. Damn you. All right. Well, then, if we don't have any other questions from the chat room, we might have a delay, but we'll come back to them if you do. All right. Well, let's get on to our next topic. Where in
the world is the Wizard of Todd? You're off to see the
wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Todd. Last week, we sent Todd on an assignment. We got an interview with Billy Graham. Todd.
Get out.
Yes, Todd. They sent us a plane ticket, and they sent it to Todd. We got Todd on a plane, and they sent him out to where to interview Billy Graham. Todd, tell us where you're at exactly, and you're supposed to be interviewing Billy Graham there. I think it's Grahamland. What a ego this guy's got. He calls his own property Grahamland. Wow. You know, I think, yeah. You know, with Grahamland, you'd be selling cocaine.
yes. That is pretty arrogant of him, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's damn arrogant. I thought these people were supposed to be pious and everything, you know?
Well, just leave it to me. I will get him on his so-called vow of poverty in just a second. Let me just get off the plane here, and I'm going down the steps, and, well, motherfucking A.
What's going on?
This doesn't look like the property of a mega preacher. This is a desolate wasteland.
A wasteland.
There's like ice and snow, and it's very, very cold out here. And in fact, I'm starting to shiver just a little bit.
What does the plane ticket say? What does it say?
It says, it does say Grahamland.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to check the GPS. Just let me check.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. It says 40 below here.
What? Check 40 below? What the fuck? I hope you didn't pack Bermuda shorts or anything.
Oh, boy. Yeah, they sent us to Grahamland.
Uh-huh.
But Grahamland is in Antarctica.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Billy fucking Graham fucked us over.
Well, I'm going to try to get back in the plane. They took... you got to be kidding. They sent me here to die.
Oh, those fuckers.
This is no good.
That's no... He didn't... He heard about this show, and he knew we were going to seriously investigate him and ask him the hard questions, and look what he did to us. Oh, that's just not right.
Well, I'm going to try to look for like some sort of outpost, you know, that I can go ahead and hold up here. Oh, look! Look, it's a penguin. At least I have a food source.
Oh, yeah.
let me go ahead and try to get the... Ow, he pecked me there. He's a little mean. Okay, I'm going to try to look a little bit more, and let me just look over this ridge. You know that little penguin I was chasing just now?
Yeah.
He has a whole bunch of friends.
Oh, really? Well, hey, you won't run out of food.
No. You don't understand. They look really pissed off right now.
Uh-huh.
I gotta go. Bye.
Todd? Todd? I think he's been penguinized.
We're going to have to sit him down one day and talk to him about reading the plane ticket before he gets on the plane.
Yes.
Not after he gets off the plane and it flies away.
I sent a couple of those bodyguards, the goons, or a couple more supposed to also be bodyguards, but I guess they failed. I'm going to have to fucking fire them too now. Oh, well. At least he didn't beat these ones up. oh, damn. Poor Todd. And that bastard Billy Graham, he's fucked us over again. All right. Oh, and the first time. Once is enough. So, all right. Anyway, if you have someplace you want us to send Todd or have him investigate or whatever, leave it in the comment section here below. And
the Vatican.
What's that?
Send him to the Vatican.
Send him to the Vatican. Okay. All right. We will send him. We will get him right on that. We'll get him sent right out to the Vatican. That's all right. That's
excellent.
That's excellent. Good spot. All right.
We should ask Todd to get an interview.
The Arctic.
Or who?
No, the Vatican is actually a city in the Arctic. Or South Africa. I'm not sure.
It's someplace. I know it's got a lot of white stuff around it. Or maybe that's something else.
That it does.
Maybe it's something else altogether.
We should ask Todd to get an interview with the Pope.
Yeah.
So, Pontifex, how are you doing?
You know, we almost forgot to play our commercial here. If you want to get in touch with us and you want to get in and find out where we're at and how we're on Facebook and Twitter and a whole bunch of other places. So we're going to give you that information, how to do that. Contact us right now.
Would you like to contact us? We can be reached 28 hours a day, 8 days a week, as at PackardPokeFat on Twitter and by email at PackardPokeFat@gmail.com. Your host, Packard Sonic, and his very honored and crazy co-host enjoy your comments or suggestions. You can find the show on iTunes, YouTube, and Stitcher Radio. Please rate, comment, subscribe, retweet, and repost the show wherever you can. Click the like button on Facebook/PackardPokeFat to join in the conversation. It really helps us out. Please donate whatever you can afford to help keep the show running. Visit PackardPokeFat.wordpress.com for more information on this or any other episode. We hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and for your support.
And thank you. Next week, we will be having our photography section. So make sure you come back and join Michael J. Burgess. He's going to be here on the show. And we're going to go through the all the photos that everybody submitted to the Focus on Photography. That's over at on Facebook as well. So come in and find out who won, who lost. And, well, there's no winning, no losing. Everybody just has a good time. And find out what our new assignment's going to be for January. All right. I want a special thank you to Talking Primate. Thank you, Dana, for joining us here on the show tonight. And, Joe, as always, thank you for coming and helping me corral everybody. That's in the
You're
chat
welcome.
Room. Thank you. And, all right, that's it for us. This has been Packard Pokes It. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.
Hey, kids. It's time again to talk about your favorite subject. Contradictions in the Bible. Is Jesus the same as God? John 10:30 says, I and my Father are one. John 14:28 says, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Did you like that, kids?
Yay!
Would you like to hear more?
Yay!
Sorry, but you'll have to wait till next week.
Oh!